consult the appropriate healthcare professional in matters relating to your health and any symptom that may require diagnosis, treatment, or medical attention. The author has made every effort to make sure the information in this book is correct at the time of release. However, the author and publisher do not assume and hereby disclaim any liability to any party for loss, damage, or disruption caused by any errors or omissions in this book. Whether the errors or omissions were a result of negligence, accident, or any other cause, the author does not assume and hereby disclaims liability. Let's begin our pharmacotherapy adventure.
Chapter 1. Case Studies. All right, let's take a look at some gastrointestinal case studies. We'll look at magnesium in chronic kidney disease. So let's say a 78-year-old male receives chronic opioid therapy for back pain and acetaminophen PM, brand Tylenol PM, one tablet at bedtime for sleep. Now, this gentleman struggled with constipation, taking docusate sodium, brand Colace, 100 milligrams daily for prevention. He needed more help. He started magnesium hydroxide, brand Milk of Magnesia, 30 mLs daily to relieve constipation, for weeks with excellent benefit. However, with a creatinine clearance around 25 mLs per minute, this patient was fortunate to have routine labs, including magnesium. You see, creatinine clearance measures how much creatinine, a waste product, the kidneys filter each minute. Now, for a healthy male this old, normal creatinine clearance is about 75 mLs per minute. While he was asymptomatic, his magnesium showed 2.5 milliequivalents per liter, well above the normal range of 1.2 to 1.9, depending on the lab. Now, the important thing to remember is that magnesium can amass in chronic kidney disease, so we should educate our patients, as magnesium in chronic kidney disease can cause negative side effects in these patients. All right, so now let's go over a few questions before we continue. Number one, when faced with a kidney disease patient taking magnesium, we're concerned about too much or too little magnesium. The answer is too much. And second, is a 78-year-old male's creatinine clearance of 25 mLs per minute high or low? The answer is this is very low, and it's indicative of kidney impairment. Let's move on to musculoskeletal case studies. NSAIDs and GI bleeding. In this case, a patient struggled with gout symptoms, a condition of elevated uric acid levels. He took allopurinol, brand Xyloprim, 300 milligrams daily for hyperuricemia. His gout would flare periodically, and he'd endured 3 flare-ups in the past year. Indomethacin, brand Indocin, 50 milligrams 3 times daily for up to a week's duration, provided relief. Now, due to continuing gout flares and different medicine trials for gout, the prescriber wrote an indomethacin order as needed, without limiting the length of use. Indomethacin regularly causes GI bleeding, but it's still a hallmark drug for symptomatic gout flare treatment. Often, if patients need chronic NSAID therapy like indomethacin, prescribers provide GI protection, such as a proton pump inhibitor like omeprazole or an H2 blocker like famotidine. Now, this patient lacked GI protection, so within a couple weeks of beginning consistent indomethacin use, the elderly gentleman found himself hospitalized, secondary to significant GI distress. He had black tarry stools, suggesting an NSAID-induced ulcer. Helicobacter pylori, a bacteria, can also cause ulcers. For these ulcers, we add antibiotics, usually in what is called quadruple therapy. This regimen consists of bismuth, metronidazole, tetracycline, and a PPI. So let's look at a couple of questions. When giving indomethacin regularly to a patient, we should assess GI status and/or verify the patient has GI protection as is offered through which two drug classes? The answer is a proton pump inhibitor or H2 blocker. And next, if the patient had an H. pylori-induced ulcer, what drug regimen would be indicated? Now, remembering the mnemonic BTOM can be helpful here. This regimen would consist of bismuth, tetracycline, omeprazole, the PPI, and metronidazole.